Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
One of the stories in the news today is the crippling starving situation in Gaza. With me on the line to discuss this is Anne Herzberg, the legal advisor of NGO Monitor. And thank you for joining me. How far are we from starvation for the population of Gaza? How critical is the situation?
Well, I don't think we're at a critical point yet, because there was quite a bit of reserve food in Gaza prior to March when the ceasefire broke down. And given what we see online with videos, there does appear to be quite a bit of food in Gaza still. Now, some of it may be more expensive because Hamas is essentially running a black market and stealing quite a bit of the humanitarian aid that's available. But, I don't think we're at that point yet.
NGOs have repeatedly argued that Israel uses starvation as a weapon. But the argument from the Israeli side would be, why is Israel obligated to feed its enemy Hamas?
So it's completely ridiculous, the claims about starvation. It's outrageous. They've presented no proof that anybody has starved, you know, maybe a handful of people here or there, but we haven't seen any, you know, not, it's not like pictures we see out of South Sudan or that we saw, you know, many decades ago from Ethiopia. This is clearly not a case of starvation. When you saw the hostages being released at these ghoulish ceremonies, nobody looked like they were starving. So that is, in my opinion, a blood libel. It's completely false.
Please continue.
So I was going to say, in terms of the legal obligations, Israel itself is not obligated to provide food. Under international law, it has to not put arbitrary restrictions on humanitarian aid going into the territory. And it's allowed to set conditions for how that aid enters the territory. So, but fears that the aid is going to be diverted, it is not obligated to provide that aid.
I mean, Israel. Following on from what you say, I mean, Israel says to keep fighters from getting into Gaza, it must keep supplies out, and it's doing the best it can to provide food and humanitarian assistance. I want to ask you why you think the same kind of criticism is not leveled at Egypt, and why can't aid be delivered via the Egyptian border?
So I think it's several things. That's definitely one of the issues, but really the primary issue, I mean, right now the situation is a little bit different than it was leading up to what's been happening the past couple of weeks. Prior to that, all of these lies are now being exposed because the situation has changed in the past couple of weeks. But prior to that, there were very few restrictions on the aid by Israel, and in fact, it was the international agencies in the UN that could not keep up with the flow. So there were hundreds, if not thousands, of aid trucks stuck at the border. So that was the problem. It was not Israel blocking aid. It was that the international community could not get their act together and deliver the aid quickly enough. Although the aid was getting through. Again, there's very few cases where there was an aid shortage. I think that was a completely fabricated story, to tell you the truth.
But go ahead. I mean, one of the things that I also keep thinking about is that if this situation in Gaza was really so dire, would you not agree that the Gazans would be desperate enough that they would release the hostages and the war could end quicker?
Well, precisely. I mean, I think that sums it up right there. The other thing is, the international community does not want to allow Gazans to leave who would like to leave. So if again, the situation was so dire, why wouldn't they let them leave if they want to? And we see that they've been campaigning to keep them in Gaza. So I think, again, that situation also proves that the situation really isn't that bad, because if there were, of course you would allow them to leave.
So what is it? Why this mainstream message coming out that people in Gaza are starving and Israel's to blame?
Because I think it has very good PR effect. I mean, let's look at it. It got the ICC to issue arrest warrants. That was the only thing that Kareem Khan could come up with. Everything else is completely false. And, you know, these claims also, he's going to look very foolish. But we see also the UN was basically engaged in a conspiracy to exaggerate the humanitarian aid situation. Part of that is they wanted money. Part of it is because they have this narrative against Israel, and this is one of the ways that they can garner sympathy. And so,
And I'd like to leave it there, but just to say thank you so much for joining us and giving us some information, because very often we feel that we don't know the facts on the ground to be able to counter some of the anti-Israel sentiment out there. Anne Herzberg, legal advisor of NGO Monitor, thank you for joining us. And it's just gone, well, it's just about to be 6:30. I mean, talk about being very precise. With me in the studio, I have David Zeidel. David, what's going to be in your show coming up in now 2 minutes?
Yeah, in 2 minutes' time, we're going to have Jeff Miller. He's the CEO of Grovest Investments. And this is somebody who started his business life really at the age of 12, selling newspapers and earning 1 cent a newspaper, and then working at the Rand Show and slice and dicing vegetables and learning about entrepreneur through actually doing it, and now invests in different businesses. And he's going to talk to us about what makes a business investable and what are the things that one should look at when running your business. And he's going to cover some of the terminology that you might have heard and done to understand what it is with getting a runway for a business, or what are your margins. He's going to unpack all of that for us.
It sounds really, really worthwhile. Thank you. And I look forward to listening to that.